everyone. This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We want families to come here to gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home. This broadcast is hosted by me, Peggy Ployer, founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool. Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student. For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. Today, we're going to learn how to incorporate VR technology into the homeschooling environment with special guest Kathleen Woollett. I just encourage you to share this broadcast with other viewers if they might be interested in our conversation, and also to put your comments and questions in the feed. We would like you to be part of this conversation. Welcome, Kathleen. I'm so excited to have you here as a guest today on Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So Kathleen and I met a while ago. We had a very interesting chat, and I had never conceived of virtual reality being part of a homeschooling environment, and she broadened my mind greatly. And I said, we're going to be talking about technology in October, and we've got to fit you in. So that's how Kathleen got here. But Kathleen, as people are popping on to the show and they're sharing it with other friends who might be interested in just this metaverse, this virtual world that we are starting to hear about, how can we grasp onto this new technology and bring it into homeschooling? I would just like for you to introduce us to yourself and to your family. Talk a little bit about your background in homeschooling, and then we're going to dive a little bit into your background after that with this new platform and technology.
Sure. Well, thank you. Hello, everybody out there. Yeah, I am a 30-year teacher, a little bit over, actually. And that is my strong background in this area. And I love education. I always have. My grandmother was an educator. My mom is an educator. My stepfather was an educator as well. Wow. And very strong background in that field. And I'm a Navy wife. My husband's retired. He was on board aircraft carriers for quite some time. And so I was home with our six children. And I found that it was much easier to homeschool. Although I was a public education teacher, but when I had my own kids, and we were living in an area that was a really nice area, but the school that we were attached to didn't meet my standards. So I homeschooled. You dive in, you go into the unknown, and you leap first and ask questions later. So that's how I found myself homeschooling for 14 years. But I have, my background is in deaf education. So, I am a deaf education specialist and also have a reading specialty, and I am certified in birth to three and then K through adult. And, I have taught in public, private, charter, state schools, and homeschool.
That's a lot of teaching and education background. And, So are you done homeschooling now? You've graduated all your students, or are you still working on some?
I have one more who is at a private school right now. You need to do what appeals to and what's best for each of your children. They're not all the same. They don't all need the same things. They don't all respond the same way to the same innovations of thought that others do. And every single one of them is unique and special. So, she is thriving at a private school right now and very grateful that it's Christian based and, which was the design in our move here was to allow her the opportunity to be at a private Christian based school.
That's awesome. It's amazing how our kids navigate, you know, like everything in our lives. People ask us how we got to our church this week. And it's like, well, it was because of the youth group and our daughter needed that, you know, so your life is dictated a lot of times by what your kids need. And so I know that's part of your VR, you know, story is that you kind of moved into this not being ready, and it was a necessity of something needed, maybe not by your own children, but by other children. Yeah. So can you tell a little bit of that story as to how you kind of got involved in this platform? And was it because you were super techie?
My kids will tell you, I was probably one of the least tech savvy people they knew. Although in this technologically savvy world, that, you know, isn't saying that I was that illiterate. I did know how to use Word.
Yeah.
Answer a phone and take a picture. So, and I, you know, I am a photographer as well. So I knew how to use Lightroom. So that kind of technology, familiar with. But as far as anything beyond that, like the metaverse,
right?
Didn't even know what that was. honestly, you know, didn't know the impact that it was going to have. I truly thought that the metaverse, when it was first introduced to me, the concept, I truly thought that it was for gaming only, and that it had no place in education. But I thought, wow, what a waste. You know, because wouldn't it be cool if kids could utilize that kind of platform to like go into different places? And, you know, when I got to thinking about the whole gaming aspect of the metaverse and got to thinking about, oh, wow, you know, kids can go to these faraway places. Kids can learn about these different environments. They can socially interact with others in new, fun, and engaging ways, but they always have to kill each other. Seriously, does it have to be so violent all the time? Couldn't it be used for educational purposes? And then I was, through a mutual friend, through networking, met someone who knows my boss and got me in touch with Victory XR, and I was, a job came up. I applied. I didn't get the job. But in his response to me, he said, he was so kind, and he truly is a very kind individual. And, very thoughtful. And, that is what attracted me to coming on board with the company as well, is that, you know, this is like an environment that I would like to call home, because he's technologically savvy. He's, you know, an ed into ed tech. And that's really what I was interested in. Didn't know how to apply it, but I interviewed with him, did not get the job, but he, in his response, said, I would really love for you to have a conversation with you about your background and something else I'm thinking about. And so we had another conversation, and it was about homeschooling. And he shared with me at that time that he was on the Iowa House Education Committee and Iowa State, and that he had been in his past. He had written a bill that was very significant for homeschoolers, for parents, actually, to have the right to have a say in their child's education. And so he's a huge proponent of education. He's a huge proponent of homeschooling. He's a huge proponent of he's a huge proponent of education because his parents were also educators. So, you know, we had that connection, and it's very easy to talk to. He's a great individual. It just blossomed from there. And the company that he hand selects the people that he hires and is very hands-on about it. And that creates a very harmonious environment. You get to work with a lot of people that are just there. I mean, everybody in the company has a very significant role, and we all are working together to bring about a change in education that we know is available and is going to make an impact on future learners.
That's awesome. You always want that. It's so much more, like you're talking about, it's so much more than just the platform, the company that stands behind it. And when those values and that quality, they'll shine through in everything that they do. If you're listening, I know we have one viewer, Tara said, we're working with Victor XR. They're amazing. And I also want to put up your website. For those of you that are listening on the podcast, it's victoryxr.com. And we'll share some more information at the end too about some homeschool possibilities of using this, their program. So we're going to talk a little bit, pointed more about the struggling learner and this technology specifically, since that's kind of what we focus on with our show. And so I would love to just have you explain just how VR, what it is, and how it's different or similar to other tech that is used in the education realm right now.
Yeah, well, I would say that it's really not like anything else that's used in the education realm right now. except that it is the closest thing that you can come to experiential learning in the pedagogy of like Reggio Emilia or experiential project-based learning platform pedagogies. That is probably the closest that you're going to come to, but those also don't incorporate the technology that the metaverse offers. Right. And that is where the magic really is in the technology that the metaverse brings to this platform. You can go anywhere, you can explore different places, you can travel, you can meet new people without ever having to realistically leave your home.
Right.
And for a lot of people, especially those with mobility issues or that are immunocompromised in today's day and age, or that are that struggle with anxiety, social anxieties, there are individuals out there that thrive in these environments and welcome the opportunity to be able to travel and experience and learn. But it doesn't just apply to that population. It applies to everybody because it's very equitable. It's, you can get on an airplane and go somewhere, but you have to have the money to get on the airplane. You have to be able to afford, the hotel, the car, transportation, whatever it is that you need to be able to experience these different places. And nothing is going to replace that. Nothing is going to be able to replace going and seeing the Arc de Triomphe yourself in person, or, being able to experience the Great Wall of China in person. But what if you can't get there? What if you financially can't get there and you can't experience it? You can watch a movie. You can watch a video. You can see it on your
computer. Probably as close as you're going to get.
But being able to go into a 360 video inside one of our platform bubble in environments and experience those opportunities to see Antarctica up close and personal, to be in a bubble and stand in a, over a raft and have the penguins right next to you over on this side, and you've got, seals over here, and you really do get chilly because you hear the wind going around you. You are surrounded. You are immersed in your curiosity. And that is what's so engaging about this platform and what's gotten me so excited. After 30 years of teaching, I'm excited for students to have the opportunity to experience this. I really, I value the importance and the impact of what this can bring and what this means for students across the globe. When you speak about students that are in Alaska and you talk about, the ocean, and you talk about, okay, we're going to talk about, I don't know, we're going to talk about cactus, or we're going to talk about octopus, or we're going to talk about, you can talk about various things, but they don't have the relationship to those concepts and ideas other than in a book or on a screen. But to be able to take them to those environments and walk through them, and not just in a 360 video, but actually in one of our environments, then it means something else. It means they can finally relate to what it is that they're being asked to learn about. And that is why students are so disengaged these days. It's because they don't relate to it. If it's not important to them, they don't want to hear about it. They don't want anything to do with it. Why am I here? Why am I in school? Why are you asking me to learn this? Why do I have to do this? Well, their why is not that curriculum piece that's written on the board. They could care less what curricular or lines do. That's not a why. That's a why the teacher is teaching it, but that's not the student's why. And that's the disengagement that we're facing right now. And that's what I think education is facing right now, is that disconnect between, okay, this is the teacher why, and this is what the principal wants to see when he goes into a classroom and wants to see that objective written on that board. Okay, there's the purpose. That's why the teacher is teaching this. But does the student care? Does it affect them? Does it impact them?
They don't see that relationship. And we are so relational. And so that immersion, that interaction is so key to that learning environment. And like you said, curiosity. And we fail so often to pique curiosity because we don't have either, just the ability to engage that student long enough because we're adding so much content into and we fail to wait. But this is one way we can just dump them, really into that environment and make that engagement start almost instantly,
It
which
does.
is it gets over those hurdles of trying to build that excitement, which I think we have to do a lot as educators, is we have to build excitement to get that engagement. And here's this technology that is doing that, as a, just instantly.
A lot of people are saying, that a lot of teachers are leaving the classroom, and rightfully so. And I see why. I hear why. I see their whys, and I hear their whys. And I understand, and a lot of people are saying, oh, well, teachers are so great at sales. Well, they are, because for years, all we had to do is sell what we're trying to teach in the classroom to students. And
That is
should
so
it be
true.
that way?
No,
No. They students should be allowed to have curiosities and build their inner curiosities, and then experience and explore those curiosities on their own level, on their own terms. And when you have teachers that are in the roles that they're currently having to do, not allowed the time, not allowed the platforms, not allowed the technology, and being told that they have to do things this way, and if it doesn't fit in with this way, then you're at risk of losing your job. Well, rather than being at risk of losing their job, they're saying, well, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and I'll find something else to do that where they appreciate me, and they hear my voice is heard, because I know how to teach and you're not listening to me. And I think that's one of the disconnects too. I could get on a soapbox about
Oh
it, but I
yeah.
won't.
Well, we have a comment from a viewer, and I really want you to address this and whether or not you, what do you think about it? Because I'm really trying to think of what I think about it. Melissa said, she's watching on Facebook. She said children are very different today, and they have to have buy-in with their education. VR is the answer to this old school teaching techniques that are not going to work with children today. Response.
I do think VR is an answer to that, because I do believe that VR can help students understand, one, the why of why they're learning what we're asking them to learn, two, allowing them the opportunity to have a voice and say in their own education and their own curiosities, and learning ways the way that they learn best. If you put them a student into VR and you offer them all of the differentiated instruction techniques that are applied in virtual reality automatically the minute you go in there, and the minute the teacher brings in something, if you can bring in our platform, you can bring in a board and you can share a PowerPoint, you can share a video, you can share, but that's really not the purpose of VR. The purpose of VR is to have, one, the flexibility to do so, but two, the opportunity to experience and immerse in what it is that you want to learn about. So I guess the most relevant thing I could think of is, I was a very unit oriented instructor. So because I taught special ed, and because my students were, I worked in an inner city public school in Jacksonville, Florida, and I had, in a self-contained classroom, deaf education students. And it was the best. I had 13 students, and my students ranged in their abilities. I'm not going to say abilities. They ranged in their abilities. And I saw the value in each and every student, and I saw the challenges that each and every student needed to overcome. And I had the time, because I was in a self-contained classroom, I had the time to work with them. And there isn't a curriculum written for the deaf and hard of hearing. I'm going to tell you that right now. So, as a special education teacher, I got to write my own. So, I got to bring in, what were the students curious about? Okay, well, this is before I had children. So, what are the students curious about? Let's see. We're going to talk about, this month, we're going to do the rainforest. We lived in Jacksonville, Florida. How am I going to get 13 kids in an inner city public school to learn anything about the rainforest and why it's important to them? So we dove in, and the students helped me create the classroom as a rainforest. We transformed it. We lived in a rainforest environment. We took, well, I got into trouble for taking too much bulletin board paper, but whatever. Bulletin board paper, and I harvested it, and I made these huge trees and these huge lianas, great vines, and we made bromeliads, and we made, I mean, the students got into all the art and all the creative aspect of it. And then when they would learn about a different animal, they would either want to draw it, or they would want to, explore it some more. And so I immersed the kids in it that way. So we learned about, how the rainforest affects you, why it's important, what, and all of that. We learned all about everything, culturally, environmentally, ecologically, everything. And it was awesome. And we read books about it. So when I say that I was very unit-based, I really was very unit-based. So we read books, we did math, we did science, we did social studies, we did history, we did economic, like all of it was around the rainforest. So when I went to homeschooling my own children, that was ingrained in me, because that's how it served my students. Well, my children, I have 6 children in 9 years. So and my husband was deployed, so it was me. He was deployed a majority of the time. And so I had the blessing of staying home with them. And nurturing their curiosities, nurturing how they learned and how they wanted to learn. So we read, what did we do? You know, we read Carry On, Mr. Bowditch, and then we would pretend we were on a ship, and I made the basement into different.
Oh, yeah. That was my house, too. Yes.
You know, I mean, a lot of homeschoolers can probably identify with this. And because you can make it fun, right?
Right.
You can make those environments. You can make it fun. Well, what's the difference then in VR? Is that now
my house can stay clean. That's what's
and I don't have to go to the expense of getting all the bulletin board paper in.
Right, and the boxes and and moving the furniture and
you know, and moving furniture around and you know, contending with dust bunnies or whatever. So but I will say, you know, I will say that so if how that applies to answer or to answer the question to support her her statement. If you are studying Carry On, Mr. Bowditch, if you're studying Lord of Thunder, Hear My Cry. Great book. A lot of homeschoolers study it.
Yeah.
So how are the kids going to understand and relate to that?
Right.
You know what they're not gonna get it. They're not going to really, really understand it. They're going to appreciate it. They're going to, you know, because of the way that parents teach things, the way that caring teaches things, they're going to understand it. They're going to be empathetic about it. However, are they really going to get it? So you study the book. You read the book with your students. You have them read it. You, for English, you take a paragraph out of the book and you dictate it to your students. And then you, and by students, I mean anybody. So I'm just using like your own children or in a classroom situation.
Right.
You dictate it to your students. They have to write it. And, you know, then you look at it and you don't grade it. But you evaluate it. You appreciate their attempts at spelling. You appreciate their attempts at the grammar. You appreciate their attempts at the punctuations involved. And then you, you know, gently just correct those. And then you give it back to them and you have them rewrite it. And so that's one way to integrate those two things. Well, then now, not only that, but you can then bring it into VR. And you can go into one of our environments is La'amistad, which is a slave ship. And you can go on board La'amistad and you can hear, if you go below deck, you'll see the slaves in their confined quarters. You'll hear the rattling of the chains. You'll see and feel the impact because it is scaled. It is true to size. So you'll feel that impact that it has on you and your and the physical awareness of everything involved of living in a confined space with no place to go to the restroom, no opportunity to leave that space.
Right.
And then you go up above and you hear a woman speaking about contemplating ending her life with her small child in her arms. And because the journey is just so tragic. And then you bring that into the equation of that book and you bring it then, and then you go onto the Pedicus Bridge, which is another environment that we offer about the civil rights movement. So you can take one piece of literature, add others to it, and explore and expand and expound upon the learning that is offered by going into these different environments and helping kids really relate. And that's what we were saying was a disconnect, really relate to, oh, wow, this is not okay. You know, this is not how I would want ever have my family, my history, my background treated in any way, shape, or form. And right. I'm not saying that it's only, you know, there's all kinds of ways that you can utilize the metaverse to mm-hmm. enhance whatever it is that you're studying and right. reinforce too. Mm-hmm. So if you're studying the ocean and you've mm-hmm. got kids in Alaska that are curious about the ocean, but they live right. in the middle of Alaska, they don't have any way
right.
of learning about anything other, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. like, you know, seashells and, if they're living in the middle of Alaska, mm-hmm. or if they're living in the middle of Siberia, or if they're living in the, you know, there's right. a difference of opinion as to what is relevant, but then also, yeah. you know, and what's important for them to learn, like, why would they be learning about the ocean? Why would they, you know, want to do that? Well, maybe they're curious.
Right.
You know, and yeah. if they just have a brief curiosity about it, okay, mm-hmm. let's have a brief curiosity about it. Let's right. dive in, explore it, mm-hmm. you know, bring in a seal, bring in a penguin, bring in this, let's, you know, go on to Dinosaur Island and, you know, and walk through it and just explore it. Let's act things out.
Right.
Let's interact with these objects. Mm-hmm. You know, that's great. You know, yeah. that's great. Yeah. And it gets that curiosity fed and
yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you can move on to what is probably or maybe more relevant for them or mm-hmm. necessary for them to learn about, which you can also do in the right. metaverse. We have one of the platforms that we've just come out with, actually one of the environments that we just came out with, sorry, not a platform, is a grid. Hmm. So if you want your students to understand graphing, dive into our grid. Hmm. Go into the grid, bring in an asset, which are objects. We have 2,000 assets available right now that you can access. And so you can bring in a square and you can put it on this grid. But when I'm saying that, it's not like, oh, okay, it's just this grid on this big board. No. This is a 1 meter scaled grid. It's on the floor. It goes in both directions.
Okay.
And then it goes up.
Ah. Uh-huh.
And it looks like a big giant ladder that just goes way, way, way up. But there's a button. You push that button and it expands that plane all the way down. So now you have this graph that you can interact with in multiple ways. Wow. Bring in a cube, bring in a rectangle. Let's talk pie graphs. Let's talk bar graphs.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk XYZ coordinates. Let's talk graphing those coordinates. And then let's bring in a bar and connect those. You know, or, oh, let's see. Let's use a 3D pen, which we have, that you can either do artwork with. You can create an asset that you don't have. Or you can use it to just really poignant things out that you want to. Or the teacher can bring in a post-it note. And it's like, oh, well, what's so significant about a post-it note? Well, here's something. You take your post-it note, it's right on your wrist. The 3D pen, the post-it note, the whiteboard, all of it is right on your wrist. You just touch it and it brings it up and you can type in on a post-it note and then you can stick that post-it note wherever you want it to go in your environment.
Wow.
So teachers can point out something. Students can point out something. You know, we become true facilitators for their learning.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, my friend Dr. Morris says that you become the guide on the side rather than the sage on the stage.
Yes. Yes.
And that's really nourishing for the soul, isn't it? To know that your kids' learning and your kids' curiosities are what's driving them to explore things.
Absolutely.
And then you're providing platforms for them to do that.
Well, as you've been talking, you know, I was thinking, you know, too, when we engage that curiosity, you know, because it takes a while to engage that because our students have not been engaged for so long in their own learning. But when you start to engage it, it's like getting that boulder rolling. And once it gets going, it's like they can take off with that and they start exploring and asking more questions and getting more involved. And so a lot of times it's just the process of getting started sometimes that is the biggest hurdle. And then just letting your students go because they find so much that can be answered that other learning environments can't answer, you know, that unless you're immersed. I mean, and that's the experience, you know, I'm pulling from is that immersive, you know, just taking my kids on trips and things. But like you said, it's so financially limiting. I mean, we would love to, you know, gone road schooling and traveled the whole time. It's just not practical.
Yeah.
So being able to bring that those environments to you really solves that problem.
And if you have students with special needs, sometimes the practicality of it all is even more, you know, it can be even more challenging.
Right. So can you talk a little bit about what, how VR does remove some of those barriers? And then of course, limitations too. As far as, you know, like mobility with hands, I mean, how much mobility do you need to use this technology? Is it pretty minimal?
Well, the technology can be accessed on a computer. So that is one way that students can, if they just don't enjoy the headset experience, there is an opportunity for you to access the environments and access the assets on your computer. The limitations with that are that you're not immersed.
Right.
So that is where that is. The other thing is that, you know, with accessibility, I was just having this conversation yesterday and, with accessibility, we have come so far, but we have so far to go. And, I will say there are so many the populations that we're reaching are pretty extensive. And with that, I mean, students, especially those that are on the spectrum.
Yes.
They really are loving this immersive environment.
That's awesome to hear.
Well, they can go into these places and their avatar can do things. They don't have to, it's breaking down a barrier for them. And students with social anxiety that, like, with, you know, social anxiety is a real thing with kids, with teenagers, but it can be to the point where it can be disabling. And when you get social anxiety disorder, there's actually a new research that I came across. I'm trying to think, it's Columbia University, and they are doing social anxiety VR therapy.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was something that was really, you know, rather like, wow. This is great. I've seen it. I've heard it from my own, from the students that I work with. I've heard it from the professors that I work with. I work with a lot of professors at a lot of universities because we are the company that's creating the metaversity. So that's, you know, so I'm, and I help and I nurture their experience as far as how do I bring in the metaverse into my curriculum? How can I use this as the wonderful and amazing resource that it is. And basically I just say it's a huge manipulative because that's what it is. You can go in and you can create whatever you want to, wherever you want to using any of the environments that you want to. So,
yeah.
I mean, we've got assets galore, we've got environments galore, and we're constantly creating new ones because we see that there's a need out there. So, anyway, beyond that, as far as accessibility goes, those that are on the spectrum really feel like they can be themselves and they don't have to worry about being judged, which prevents them a lot of times from social interactions, because they might have a tic or they might have They might have a, you know, I don't want to lose your eyes, right? Looking at an avatar. So it's a different perspective.
Right.
And you really have to think about it, but
you can make your body language be the way that you know it should be. And oftentimes, because of the feelings and the emotions we have, our body language unfortunately gives way to the people that understand body language better than us on the spectrum do. and so it does, it removes a lot of those barriers. So that you can start on that even relational field.
And I will say that accessibility, as far as my own field, you know, the deaf and hard of hearing, I don't think that it's, you know, obviously it has multiple challenges. Virtual reality has multiple challenges. Not all deaf and hard of hearing sign. I would love to be able to use sign language in virtual reality.
I would love
to be able to see the body language of others, because I know that 80% of communication is nonverbal.
It is nonverbal.
So I would love to see more of that. And the great thing about being in this field is that I hear every day of the technological advances that are taking place and the companies that are striving to make my dreams for the metaverse a reality.
Wow.
And it's not just me pushing it, because they don't know me from Adam, but
there's probably a collective understanding of what needs to happen to make it better. To be on that forefront, that's got to be exciting.
The fact that they're alert to it. You know, the fact that technology and these major companies are alert to this and they want to make it better for people's experiences.
Right.
That says a lot about those companies. And, you know, and it doesn't say, oh, yeah, no, they just want to make money. Well, think about it.
Right.
You know, think about how, is it really going to make them a lot of money, or is it just going to make it more accessible? And I think it's the latter.
Right.
And I think they're doing it because of their humanity, you know, their human stance. And I think that the want to make the metaverse the great resource that it is for education says a lot about a company as well.
Right.
Because everybody sees that there's a need for education to change.
Yes.
But what is anybody doing about it?
Yeah, they're you know? They're leaving it to the parents. Unfortunately,
like,
we've seen the surge in homeschooling. Exactly.
Or they're leaving it to the administration, whose hands are tied by the board of directors or the board of education, and then their hands are tied because of resources.
Right.
And it's just a trickle down theory, and everybody's struggling, and they're like, oh, okay, well, we know what needs to be done. We see what needs to be done. We understand that we need to change, but one, it costs money. Two, it, and yes, VR does cost money, but your investment is going to last you a little bit longer than buying a brand new curriculum every year.
Right. Because you've just buy the technology and the what you're talking about, you know, the platform behind it, the objects and the environments are constantly being added. And so that is the thing it takes the most money and resources to create. That is the curriculum. Basically.
And our VictoryX, our direct products offer curriculum along with them. So that if you wanted your students to explore biology and they want to dissect a frog or a pig or a squid, and you don't have to pay for the frog and you don't have to clean it up, and you don't have to smell it.
Yes, and that's what I was thinking about.
Go, ew, this is icky, you know, like this is gross. Okay, you know, go into VR and dissect a frog.
Yeah.
There's a holographic teacher there that'll walk you through it. She's the best in her field, and it's just It's amazing. And then we have another new product, which is Victory XR Labs, which brings the elements of physics into
Oh,
the
awesome.
metaverse. So being able to interact with things and actually have them have physics attached to them is amazing. And a lot of our experiments and a lot of our up and coming things, which I can't talk about, but a lot of what we're doing is being directed towards our labs environments because you can incorporate the physics aspect to it. Although I will say that the direct products already have that built in to that as well. So
That's awesome. Yeah, so if
yeah,
you're
because
not
you can actually you
understanding,
have to actually slice the frog open.
right.
But there's no blood
Yes.
involved.
Yay. Yeah, so my kids have talked about physics in gaming for a long time, and having a degree in physics, it's always, you see things on movies and you see them like, really, that can't happen, if you understand, just how motion and yes, velocity, speed, all that works, and gravity. There's some things that just can't happen. And so that's what Kathleen is talking about and it applying, because a lot of times within those virtual environments, we do not see things the way that they would and naturally happen in the world, in the environment, the Earth environment. I guess, we'd have to change gravity if we went to the moon, but but yeah, that's kind of what all that's about, and so that's amazing. And just to even know that there are so many people collectively, and I know there's probably other companies that, the competition is probably, cropping up all over the place, but that's good because it creates innovation. When we want to have the best platform or, cater to a specific group of people, and it sounds like your organization is really, reaching out into that homeschool environment as well. And I know you had a variety of different things on there. We had one question from one of our viewers, Melissa on Facebook, said, "Do you have a platform for Christian-based homeschooling curriculum?" And her example is like being able to go on to Noah's Ark. That's a great question.
That's a great question. We do not have necessarily Christian-based. We, as far as our platform or our curriculum, we don't designate that at all. There are several in the company that are Christians. But I will say that it's a very, I mean, our to answer to just to answer that direct question, as far as having a Noah's Ark, no. We have a ship that you can bring animals onto? Yes, we do. So basically, our what we offer is a platform for educators of any type to utilize as a resource to bring your students into, to immerse them into their curiosities and to engage with what it is that they want to understand more about. And you can do that in our different environments. You can go on board a ship and you could go on board you could go to the Galapagos Islands. You could go on board a battleship and pretend that that's Noah's Ark. What if a battleship was Noah's Ark? What if Noah had a battleship? I don't know. But we do have a ship as well. So yes, you can bring in, you would be the one to bring in the animals. And we have a slew of animals. And you could, you replicate them easily. It's just a click click. And so it's such an easy platform. I am not a technology savvy
So yeah,
person.
I was going to ask you, wait, like give a quick example of a class that you have taught using this environment, just to kind of give the teacher perspective of what you would do when you go in to set things up.
Well, so when I was teaching, my first class that I taught for Victory XR was how to write a 5-paragraph essay. And people are like, you can't teach writing in virtual reality. You can teach the basics You can teach the fundamentals. And how I taught my own children how to write in virtual reality was by teaching them the big method. So it sounds kind of crazy, but so because I'm a very visual person myself and I'm really big into theater. And so, and I love acting things out. So my kids were, you know, a lot of my children are the exact same way in that regards. And so what I did was I went to, I held my class in three different environments. I held it on Mount Fuji. I held it on Dinosaur Island, and I held it at the bottom of the ocean floor. So my first class was going into the ocean, and I brought in a whole bunch of different animals, and I asked students to put a sticky note at each of the animals that they were interacting with and tell it and write one word about that animal. One word. And then somebody else go behind. And if the sticky note's already there, I want you to add to it. Add another word, an adjective, an adverb, you know, another description, another verb. What does that animal do? Or if you want to, if you're comfortable and you want to, go ahead and add a whole sentence. And just let's work on grammar. Let's work on vocabulary. That's the basics. That's the basics, right? Your language is the written word put on paper. And, and that's what writing is. So let's get comfortable with the concept first.
Right.
Be comfortable with what you're doing. And then we'll go into it deeper. So then I brought in a baseball field. I made a baseball field. I used pieces of square grass that we have. And I put it all together and I put the paths in, I brought in the bases and I've set everything up. And then I took what's called a snapshot. And then I can take that snapshot into any other environment. So that's why I was able to take my snapshot of my baseball field into Mount Fuji, onto Mount Fuji and into, you know, and into the Dinosaur Island, either on the plain there or at the in the bottom of the water there. So you can take it anywhere. Once you have a snapshot, you can use it in any environment. And so I created that snapshot, and so then I have my baseball field, and then I brought in whiteboards, and I had whiteboards at every single base. And then I also brought in my post-it notes. And I said, okay, I have a starting paragraph. Here's my starter. This is my, you know, and I said, okay, we're teaching at the bottom of the ocean floor. I can't say that this is a hook, right? It has to be a pitch because hooks don't do well with fish. So this is a pitch. So we're pitching the baseball and we're pitching from home plate and you're going, or you're pitching from the from the pitcher's mound. And you go to home plate. So that is your first, that's your pitch, right? What, what's your idea? What's your big idea here? Then go to first base. What's your supporting detail? What's your first supporting detail? Then go to second base. What's your second supporting detail? Write it on the whiteboard, write it on a post-it note, bring it in, do whatever, you know, and it, and it, and then go to third base and then go back to home base. And that's your summary. So now you have your 5-paragraph essay. And you can do it in any environment. And because you do it with snapshots or you do it, and the kids are doing it interactively too. So
and that just adds to the, when you got that relational component to that versus them being solitary and feeling like I'm all alone, I've got to do this task. There's something about being with other
people. I hate writing.
That, that really helps with that. Well, thank you for giving us that visual, because I think that'll really help. Because a lot of times it's, we've never seen the environment. It's like, well, you know, how do I even go about doing that? And so
I do have videos on my YouTube page. And it's, so I do have that available. And so you can go to my YouTube page and,
And we'll make sure we put a link in our YouTube description. Of the video so that you can go see Kathleen's videos. I'd like, as we're wrapping up, for you to talk just a little bit about the homeschool packages that Victory XR offers, because I want parents to know what that is. And I'm going to put up your website again. It's victoryxr.com.
And if you go to victoryxr.com/homeschool, you'll get my page, which goes into the further descriptions. But victoryxr.com will give you the basic, and then you can click on, there's also a homeschool link there. So it can get you all the information that you need by going to that main page that you're posting there. The homeschool packages, you can get Victory XR Academy, which is our magic. It's the synchronous or asynchronous, because students can go in and partake in classes that were already conducted, like the ones that I've taught, the ones that others have taught in our environment. Students can, if you have a Victory XR Academy subscription, you can go back and go into those recordings in an environment in headset, and you can learn, you can bring in your own asset of a heart, and you can blow it up and walk through the chambers, or you can, you know, there's all kinds of different things that our teachers have worked with in these environments. So students can have access to all of those with an Academy subscription. But then you also have the Victory XR Direct, which is our asynchronous product. It is holographic teachers, eye buttons, and information voiceovers that come in and help you experience all these different things. Go to Mars, experience physics, go on a maze, go, you know, just really be immersed, do all the dissections. And then you have the labs products, which right now we have the civil, let's see here. We have civil rights. We have biology, and I know I'm forgetting one, but I know I'm conscious of time too, so I want to get this all in. But I will say that the most exciting thing that we're doing right now, and I'm putting up a video today on this, is that we are offering a meta homeschool opportunity. So if you belong to a cooperative, and you want your students to have their social emotional learning skills nurtured, and yet you are home, right? But they need to learn. They really need to have kids and peers to interact with.
Yes, that interaction,
build ideas off of with, and nurture that. So what we're doing is we are offering for homeschoolers. If you purchase a subscription, if you purchase a subscription to Victory XR Academy, and then you bring 10 subscribers on with you, we will take 10 of our environments and brand them for your homeschool.
Very
so
cool.
You can own your own homeschool. And then you can invite other teachers to teach. You can, and then they just need subscriptions. And then you grow your school, and you determine how many kids are going to be allowed in the different classes. You host classes. It's very easy to do. I mean, if I can do it, anybody can do it. So, I mean, we have university professors that have been teaching for decades that are now using our product. And are saying, you know, this really isn't so bad. I didn't think I could get through this hurdle. But special development that we offer for parents and for teachers is amazing as well.
So you have some instruction as well.
And it all comes with the subscription.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, it's so exciting to be talking about this, because I know it's definitely been needed, and it's coming at a perfect time when homeschooling is just starting to explode and families are looking for these different means to help their kids. And with so many kids at home, like you said, that social emotional component, sometimes it's like, you know, it's like when we were homeschooling, you know, our kids when they were younger, it's like, and how are they getting social skills? We would just go out and about, and we'd do so many things. I mean, they were getting more social skills than they needed.
Theater,
exactly, all the activity.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But now we're seeing parents are also working from home, and they don't have as much time to take their kids to all those activities too. And so,
you can do theater in virtual reality.
Yes, exactly.
And you can be wherever. And see, that's the great thing. You can be wherever you are in the world. If you're in Ethiopia, and you've got a friend in Siberia, and you've got a friend in New Zealand, and you've got a friend in Europe, meet them in headset. and
Yeah,
watch how those
exactly.
interactions and those relationships mature.
Yes. And just exposing your kids to other cultures and kid people from different backgrounds, it will just, add that much more to their educational experience. I have to completely agree. Well, thank you so much, Kathleen. This has been a just enjoyable conversation, and so much information now to process. And I think our viewers are probably feeling the same way. But thank you all for
Anybody can
joining
reach
us.
out to me.
Yes,
So I'm
yes. And
happy
we'll
to
make
talk.
sure we put Kathleen's information and Victory XR's information on the YouTube description. So if you want to connect with her, it'll be just easy as a click of a link. And thank you for all that you're doing and just your willingness to put yourself in an environment that was very not what you've done in the past, but being willing to be out there and represent homeschoolers in that. So thank you so much for that and to just add your educational background to be able to help with the formation and cultivation of that environment. That's so important. So yes, we're
I'm happy
excited to
to
see
do
where
so.
that's gonna go. Yeah. And
Thank
thank
you.
you all, for joining us on this broadcast. This has been an amazing month talking about technology, and we hope that you have enjoyed it as much as we have. We've also had blogs written on our website all about tech. One will come out tomorrow with the Sped Homeschool team's top picks. So that'll have a lot of great resources there for you. And so just know that we at Sped Homeschool, we are a 501c3 nonprofit. And so if you would like to continue supporting our work or support our work as a donor, you can visit our website at spedhomeschool.com and click donate. And we would appreciate that. That's what keeps us having the ability to do these broadcasts and to continue updating our website, reaching out to new resources like Kathleen. I interview people like her all day long, and that's if you wonder what I do not on Tuesdays, that's what I'm doing. So, just creating those connections for you and finding resources, and that's what we list on our website. So, definitely look at those resources. They are extremely useful for your home education, and continue watching this broadcast, listening to the podcast, and being part of our community. So thanks again, Kathleen. We appreciate just your willingness to come on and share and just talk about this new technology. It's so exciting. It's so very
Thank
exciting.
you. Thank you, Peggy, for having me, and thank you for all that you do in support
Oh,
of
you're
special needs.
welcome.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've wrapped up now this month of October. Next week, we are going to dive into our November topic, which is unit studies. Kathleen talked a little bit about unit studies, but we're going to talk about holiday unit studies and how to create your own. And next week specifically, we're going to talk about how to create a unit study for the holidays based on your family traditions. If you already do them, why not make them school? So that's what we're gonna,
Make it
exactly. Get your Christmas tree up and your, So your cookies won't get made that way though, if they're only virtual.
We're working on that.
Yes. If I could make them in the metaverse and have them shipped to my house, that, okay. My brain's going. So anyways, but that's where we're headed next week. So anyways, this has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations, and it has been provided by Sped Homeschool. Make sure you go to our website at spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner. And we'll see you again here next week. So have a great week, everybody. Goodbye, and God bless.
This is Chris Christensen, and back in 2006, I started a simple project. A project to try and introduce more people to the Bible through Bible study called the Bible Study Podcast. It's a simple name and a simple idea. Each week, every week, we study one chapter of the Bible, talk about what it says, and what that might mean for us today. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for the Bible Study Podcast on your favorite podcast app.